It is, of course, a Thursday afternoon. It is the 18th day of April, and Elaine Cubb is on the line. She is the author that we have talked to all winter long about her book, Mastering the Grain Markets, and is here this afternoon to talk about what's been happening in the future. She's also a broker, and she is in Elkhorn, Nebraska. Good afternoon to you, Elaine. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Todd. It is snowing in Elkhorn, Nebraska at this particular moment in time.
Well, it's raining here, but I think I'd rather have the rain than the snow.
It's not snowing very hard, but yeah, you guys are certainly getting rain.
And, you know, because you've been in such a droughty area, and unlike parts of the eastern Corn Belt, had remained in a droughty area all the way through at least the early part of the spring, very early part of the spring, late winter, how are conditions now?
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting just over the past couple of weeks to see how the situation has felt like it's been changing, because for the past couple of months I've sort of been on a bullish opinion for new crop grain just because of this persistent drought that I feel like the market just largely ignored throughout the winter with good cause. I mean, there's no seed really in the ground yet in most of the western Corn Belt, so why worry about it yet? And within the past couple of weeks, you're starting to hear from guys in Iowa that they're starting to see some rain and precipitation running through their tiles, finally. I mean, this has not happened for months. And that's also true here in the irrigation ditches that you see around eastern Nebraska. So we're starting to see a little bit just from the spring precipitation that we've had. Now, officially, this is still a drought. It's not as severe as it was a month ago, but it's still a drought. So we are dependent upon this weather pattern continuing.
Would you say that officially, and I haven't looked at the map, but I'm guessing to the west of I-35. I know Elwin Taylor, who will be our guest on Commodity Week this week, said earlier in the week, southeast Iowa, the drought's over, but that doesn't mean the rest of the western Corn Belt is not in need of rainfall.
Yeah, so okay, I'm looking at the drought monitor right now, and yes, I-35 looks like the cutoff, and the rest of it is in severe to abnormally dry drought throughout Iowa. And once you get into Nebraska, you're again talking that extreme and exceptional drought. And I think, again, with some justification, the market can sort of discount the extreme drought in Nebraska because there is so much irrigation that's going on out here. But when you get out into the Sandhills, there may not be any water down in the aquifer for them to irrigate with. I mean, it's really, really dry, and I think it's very easy for the market or for traders in Chicago to kind of forget about that situation right now.
Are they rationed on water? Do they have an allotment each year? We hear about that periodically. We've heard about it on this show a couple of times, that the allotment has already been cut back, so that which would have been available already is not.
That's going to be true for a lot of counties, and in Nebraska, it's a county-by-county basis. There are only a few counties that have specific allotments, and I don't know, I couldn't tell you what those cutbacks may have been this year, but that sounds correct. And in Kansas, yes, they have allotments for their irrigation. So you think of the dry weather going on out there not having as much of an effect on yield, and we saw that in 2012, the yield drag on Nebraska corn was not as bad as it was in some of the other states, but going into 2013, that may not be so much of a factor.
All right. So then turn your attention to the markets directly. You said you had a bullish intent earlier in the year based on the dry weather that was remaining in the western Corn Belt. You're still a bit dry to your side of Interstate 35, but the marketplace said, we don't care so much. We're taking it lower anyway today.
Well, yeah, so this was a really funny day for corn. And when you said that the corn went down 16 cents today, and that is in the May contract, and the July contract also went down double digits, but the new crop markets stayed higher and soybeans stayed higher. So it really seems like something very specific was going on in corn itself. And I think the one thing that may have been happening today that sort of spooked some speculators was the Renewable Fuels Association is in Washington, D.C. talking about things. And they, in an effort to appear reasonable, have even brought up the idea of reducing the renewable fuels mandate. So I think that's the kind of headline that in an environment like we've had this week for commodities, where you have funds that are in commodities and are needing to pay their margin calls and are just wondering where they should cut their exposure. They've been cutting exposure to gold, for instance, starting last week and going into this week, and other commodities. And I think that corn was certainly a target for that today because of that renewable fuels conversation that may be going on.
I wonder.
So,
well, go on.
Sorry.
So, go on with your thought.
I was just going to say that, so yeah, that loss that we talk about in corn today was very focused on the old crop market. And the new crop market, I still feel a little bit bullish for, even though now my bullishness may be switched to a late planting wetness argument rather than a drought argument.
You'll have to forgive me because I have been out of the office for a good portion of the day today and haven't seen what the Renewable Fuels Association has said. But I'm wondering whether the marketplace might have misplaced this and read it wrong and is looking more towards a standard which would cut back on the amount of biofuels or advanced biofuels that might be produced from soybean oil into soy diesel rather than on ethanol. It wouldn't surprise me if it's not the other way around and that at some point we could see the corn and the soybeans flop on this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that the market is overreacting to whatever was said by the Renewable Fuels Association today. And as I understand it, they are addressing some of the ethanol, too. But you don't see ethanol prices going down today. They actually are staying pretty steady and not being as volatile as corn. So, like I said, I think it's just the sort of thing that if a market's not going up, you know, it didn't make it through some resistance levels today on the chart. And this was just a really good excuse for perhaps one fund or more funds. You know, volume has not been extremely high in the grain markets these past couple of days. I think it may have just been an excuse for somebody to just kind of panic sell today in the nearby corn contract.
Will the weather and the rainfall across much of the Corn Belt, which is stalled, actually, I don't know whether stalled, but delayed planting is maybe a better word for it, eventually come into the marketplace?
Well, I think so. So I was looking at those numbers today. Well, in the last crop progress report, it said Illinois was something like 1% planted. Do you remember?
Yep.
Yeah. So then I looked at 2012. By this time, by the time Monday's crop progress report rolls around, the 2012 crop progress report for the third week of April showed Illinois was 59% planted. So you're way, way, way behind last year. The five-year average is like 17% planted, so it's not quite as far behind an average pace, but it's still behind, and it feels very, very behind to folks that were used to the early planting last year or who may be aiming for those higher September prices, you know, to try and get an early harvest in. That is sort of being washed out the window. So, yeah, I think that it could be when Monday's crop progress report rolls around, if you're still showing Illinois at 1% planted, which may be the case because you guys are wet now and you're likely to be wet through the weekend at least, that could be pretty startling to the market, yes.
And we'll find out more on Monday. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd.
All right, and that is Elaine Cubb. She's with Mastering the Grain Markets, an author and a broker, and she's out of Elkhorn, Nebraska, filling in this afternoon for Dan Zwicker, who's out of the office for the day.